Please rise and lift up your hearts to the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's now sing together from Psalm 100, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, together at the Church of All Times and Places, make a profession of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith, and let's do so this afternoon by singing together from Hymn 1A.
Thank you.
now call upon the Lord in prayer and ask Him for His blessing. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you on this Sunday afternoon and we wish to thank you for the blessings that you have given to us. We thank you that we may celebrate on this day the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that you have decided to dwell in our hearts in a much more intimate way than you have been with your people prior to that time. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit has come to us as the great comforter. He is the helper who stands alongside of us and encourages us in every way. Dear Father in heaven, we desperately need that help and encouragement. We are people who often go astray. Each one of us goes our own way. And Lord, we, in doing so, we sin against you. We say and do many things that are not respectful to you, and they're offensive to you. They arouse your wrath. We also act in our dealings with each other in ways that are equally offensive to you. We say things, we do things that are very hurtful instead of being loving to our neighbor. And we ask, Lord, again, that for Jesus' sake, you would forgive us for all our sins. Please look upon us in mercy, and please, for the sake of the suffering and death of our Savior, take away our guilt and show us your grace. We ask this, Lord, with good hope, because we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and we believe that his death was sufficient to make payment for our sins. And so we trust that for Christ's sake that you will continue with us. Dear Father in heaven, we also thank you that through the working of your Holy Spirit, that you are willing to work faith in our hearts, that we can more and more believe in you and expect our help and our strength from you. Please bless the proclamation of your word this afternoon, that we may understand how rich we are to have your Holy Spirit within us, and that we may appreciate the work of sanctification that he's busy with. Please grant that we may also pursue these matters in our own hearts and lives. Help us to put sin away from us and to live and walk as your children in every way. We pray that you would please do these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you now have the opportunity to worship God with your thank offerings. The collection this afternoon is for the work of Eucalypt, and thereafter we'll sing together from Psalm 116, the verses 1, 7, 9, and 10. afternoon I may preach to you the good news concerning how we show our gratitude to the Lord for the gifts of His grace. In connection with that, we're first going to read together from the Scriptures. We're going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There God's word says, "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle should be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Be with you. Amen. And this afternoon I may preach to you the good news concerning the place of, or the gratitude that we have to the Lord. We'll do so by looking at what the Church has summarized, confessed in Lord's Day 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 32, you can find it on page 511. Lord's Day 32 has the heading, the third part, our thankfulness. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace alone through Christ, without any merit of our own, why must we yet do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit to be His image, so that with our whole life we may show ourselves thankful to God for His benefits, and He may be praised by us. Further, that we ourselves may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and that by our godly walk of life, we may win our neighbors for Christ. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent walk of life? By no means. Scripture says that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, greedy person, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then after the proclamation of God's word, let's sing together from Psalm 105, the verses 1, 2, 3, and 15. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we live in a society in which success is often measured by what you have or by what you can do. According to our society, a man is successful if he has a lot of money, if he owns a nice house or has a nice car. Or similarly, if you can work your own hours, if you can take vacation whenever you want, or if you can retire when you feel like it, that according to people in our society, you are successful. But in the scriptures, success is not measured by what you have or by what you can do. Rather, according to the Lord, success is measured by who you are. Those who live by faith, those who pursue righteousness and holiness, are highly praised by the Lord. Those who are humble and contrite in heart, those who are patient and gentle, kind and compassionate, honest and loving, faithful and merciful, are those whom the Lord commends as having achieved a good life. And the good news of the scriptures is that the Lord is the one who has taken it upon himself to work towards conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. The Lord is making us into the kind of people who he wants us to be. Now often, that's a really bumpy road. We are people who often still measure success according to the ways of our world, the thinking of our society. But thankfully, the Lord doesn't leave us there. Providentially, he guides our lives so that we may realize what really is important in life and that we begin to be conformed to the image of his Son. He works in us in such a way so that we recognize that the biggest issue of our life is sin, so that more and more we look to Jesus Christ to take away those sins, and we look to the Holy Spirit to renew us in God's image. Now, in the last 27 Lord's Days of the Catechism, we've confessed how the Lord has blessed us in his Son, Jesus Christ, in forgiving us our sins. When we get to Lord's Day 32, the question becomes, how are you going to respond to that? As you grow in an understanding that the greatest thing in life is not the things that you have or the things that you could do, but rather the person who you are, and as you understand that Jesus Christ makes you into the kind of person who's acceptable to God and who's pleasing to your Father, then what is your response going to be to that, brothers and sisters? You are the richest people in the world. You are the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are those people who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been sanctified by the Spirit of God. What are you going to do with the gifts that you've received? The Lord doesn't want you to pay him back for what he's done for you. He doesn't expect you to make it up to him in some way. He doesn't give gifts to us on loan that one day we're obligated to repay to him. His gifts are gifts that are given freely and fully. But there is one thing that he does want from us. He wants us to appreciate his gifts of grace. And he wants us to be truly thankful for what he's done for us. Nothing is more important to the Lord than that we are grateful in our hearts for the gifts of his grace. And to this end, he calls us to then live a sanctified life as an expression of our gratitude before him. I preach God's word to you under this theme. The Lord wants us to sincerely appreciate the gifts of his grace and to show that by doing good. We'll see in the first place the importance of our gratitude, and secondly, the blessings we receive through a life of gratitude. So first, the importance of gratitude. If you read through the scriptures, there are many places in his word in which the Lord explains to us that our good works do not earn anything before him. But at the same time, he does call us to live sanctified lives and to do what is good and right before him. Our confession, here in Lord's Day 32, it lists Romans 12 verses 1 to 2 as one of the texts that show us that good works ought to be an expression of our gratitude to him. And if you understand the book of Romans, if you think back to that, you'll remember the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans tell us about how rich we are in Jesus Christ. We've been justified as a free gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then starting in Romans 12, chapters 12 through 16, the apostle spells out for us how we are to respond to the free gift of God's grace. In Romans 12, verse 1, the apostle says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he says here, in view of God's mercy, you don't have to pay God back. Instead, you have to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. He says, in view of his mercy, instead of being conformed to this world, you are to be people who are transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he goes on and he spells out what that looks like in real life. If you keep reading in Romans 12, then he applies that in the first place in the communion of the saints, that you use your gifts in order to serve your brothers and sisters in the church. And he goes on from there, and that you live in harmony and in fellowship with the people around you. And so here, good works are an expression of an attitude of thankfulness to the Lord. You know, actually, if you go back to the Old Testament, this is one of the first things that the Lord taught his people. Back in the law, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites were standing at the edge of the Jordan there. They're about to cross over the Jordan River and come into the Promised Land. And God said when they got into the Promised Land, it was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. They're going to have everything that they could possibly want. They're going to have food and drink. They're going to be blessed with more than they could possibly know what to do with. They're going to have, through faith in Christ, through faith in God, they would have safety from their enemies. They would have security. They would have every man living in peace under his own fig tree and under his own vine. God is going to bless them in every way possible. But then what the Lord first did is he warned them that they continue to be thankful for his gifts of grace. In Deuteronomy 8, he told his children that since they were so rich, the temptation would be there that they would become proud, that they would think that they had done it by their own strength, and they would begin to pat themselves on the back. The Lord warns them against that. He calls them to always have a spirit of thankfulness in their hearts. And then it's fascinating, if you read through the law of the Lord, that God also gave his people a very explicit way in which they could express their thanks to him. There were many different ways. Obviously, they could sing praises to him, they could thank him, they could obey his law. But alongside of that, he also gave one of the sacrifices, the fellowship offering, as a means in which, through which they could concretely show him the thanks that they had for him in their hearts. If you read through Leviticus 3 and through Leviticus 7, then you see that the fellowship offering had a number of different uses. It was an offering that was always voluntary. No one was obligated to ever bring a fellowship offering. It was always something that you did of your own accord. And it was always intended as a sign of the close fellowship that you had with the Lord. Many times, people gave these fellowship offerings as a expression of gratitude to God after they had fulfilled their vows to the Lord. So if you are an Israelite who richly experienced God's grace in your life, if you were particularly thankful to God for something that he'd done for you, then many times you would vow to God that you would show your gratitude to him by bringing an offering to him. And that was the fellowship offering. If you read through the Psalms, you see that people often made use of this thank offering, this fellowship offering. One example is Psalm 56. David's captured by the Philistines in Gath. Well, after he's captured, he must have made a vow that if the Lord released him, gave him safety once again, then he would offer this fellowship offering as an expression of his gratitude. He says in verse 12, I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the God of light of life. So David made this vow when he was in distressing circumstance. Now that God has rescued him, he says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to offer this fellowship offering to show God my thanks for his grace. Or if I can use another example, Psalm 107 is one long song of thanksgiving and praise for God's incredible deliverance in saving them from Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. Psalm 107 starts with the word, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then after recounting how the Lord delivered them from the land of Egypt, he calls it from the gates of death. Then the psalmist continues, he says, Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. These are people who reflected on the great deeds of God in the past. And one of the ways in which they expressed their gratitude to God was giving these thank offerings, these fellowship offerings to the Lord. So the recurring theme here, brothers and sisters, is whenever God does some beautiful thing for you, and if you're particularly thankful to God, you love him a lot, and you have a real sense of thankfulness and devotion to him in your heart, then you can give expression to that by offering this fellowship offering. Now today, we don't make fellowship offerings any longer. I don't think there's anyone here this afternoon who at one stage took some animal, cow or a lamb or something, and made an offering to the Lord. We just don't do that. But that doesn't mean that we don't express our thanks to the Lord. Let's say it's happened that you're particularly grateful to God for some gift that he's given you, brothers and sisters. Let's say you've restored your health after some significant health concern. Let's say you're very thankful that he's given you the gift of a child. You're very thankful for the job that you have, for the home that you may live in. How do you go about expressing your gratitude to the Lord? There's a lot of different ways. This afternoon I read with you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's in this chapter that the Lord spells out for us a number of different ways in which we also can give an expression of our gratitude to God in the way that we live before him. Actually, if you go back to chapter 4, the Lord teaches us there how we can express our gratitude to him. Starting in the first verses of chapter 4, God teaches us how to live a holy and a sanctified life. And it's really when we live this holy, sanctified life, this is one of the greatest ways in which we can show God our gratitude to him for the gifts of his grace. And so we're called to flee from sexual sin. We're called to be honest in our dealings with one another. We're called in the first verses of chapter 5 to flee from drunkenness, to be those who are watchful, who are ready for the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. A little later in chapter 5, we're called to respect the office bearers who've been set over us. We're called to live at peace with each other. We're called to help each other by warning the idle, by encouraging the timid, by helping the weak, and by being patient with everyone. We're called to be kind to each other and to show respect for the word of God. And furthermore, we're called to hold on to the good and to avoid every kind of evil. It's in this chapter that the Lord says, if you wish to show me your gratitude, the way you can do that is by living a holy life. It's by doing good works. You flee from sin and you do what's good and pleasing before me. That's really what we summarize here also in the Heidelberg Catechism. We confess in our Lord's Day that doing good works is a foundational way in which we show God our gratitude. That's why in the next Lord's Day, starting in Lord's Day 34 and going to Lord's Day 44, we have a discussion about the Ten Commandments. These are explicit ways in which the Lord shows us that we can express our gratitude to Him for the gifts of His grace. And then it's really striking, if you keep reading in this chapter here in 1 Thessalonians 5, the Lord goes on from there. It's not only by doing good works. If you read in the verses 16 and following, the scripture says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So another part here is that God says you ought to be joyful always. If your heart is filled with joy over what the Lord has done for you, that's a very rich way in which you can show God the gratitude that you have for His gifts of grace. You know, our Father loves it when your heart's filled with joy, brothers and sisters. If we enjoy the gifts that someone else has given us, just think about it for a second from a human perspective. If we enjoy someone's gift to us, then that's very encouraging for the giver. I love giving gifts to other people that I know that they're really going to appreciate and enjoy. And then for us, if we're joyful not only in the good things that we receive from God, but if we're joyful in all circumstances, as the apostle says here, then that's especially pleasing to God. And there's good reason why the Lord calls us to be joyful in all circumstances. He wants us to remember that our joy is not dependent upon the external circumstances of our lives. It's not only when things are going well for us, or when physically or materially we have all that we could possibly want. No, He wants us to remember that we have the greatest gifts in the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ has come to forgive our sins. He's reconciled us to God. We have peace with the Lord. We have the hope of an eternal life. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. We have comfort in our life. We have contentment. We have all the foundational things that a person really longs for deep in his heart. And so at the end, the Lord says that we ought to be thankful that we ought to be joyful in all circumstances. And how then does God wish us to express that joy? It's really striking. If you read through a passage like Ephesians 5, there's a very close connection between having joy in your heart, giving thanks to God, and then also singing. It says, Ephesians 5:19, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And the contrast here, brothers and sisters, between singing, you know what's on the other side of it? Instead of having this joy in your heart, and being thankful and singing to God, you know what he talked about in Ephesians 5 verse 18? He was talking about getting drunk. Don't be filled with wine. Don't let your life be filled by the lustful, sinful desires of your hearts. Those things don't lead to joy. That doesn't lead to something that's pleasing to God. That doesn't lead to the sanctification of your character. It doesn't lead to making you into a holy person. In contrast to that, the Lord says, reflect on who God is and what He's done for you through Jesus Christ, and then live a life of gratitude before Him by singing songs to Him and expressing to Him your gratitude. That's really striking in this regard. If you go through the Psalter, if you look through the 150 Psalms that God has given us, there's about 20 Psalms in which the key theme of the Psalm is that it's an expression of gratitude to the Lord for the gifts of His grace. And the beauty of these psalms is that they not only express gratitude to the Lord, they show us that there's a multitude of things that we can be grateful to the Lord for. And so as your heart is moved with a sense of gratitude for something that God's done for you, then one of the great ways that you can express that to God is that you go through the Psalter and you find a psalm that fits your circumstance. And you use the words of those psalms in order to express your gratitude to the Lord. God has given those words to us. His Holy Spirit inspired them. He wants us to use them in order to show Him how thankful we are for the gifts of His grace. If you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, another way of expressing our thanks to God is by praying continually. If you think about it, brothers and sisters, it's through prayer that you pursue relationship with God. We can tell God how much we love Him, how much we appreciate Him, and we can pursue closeness to Him by talking to Him. Once again, if I could ask you to think about that from a human perspective, if you do a kind thing for someone else, then one of the greatest ways that a person can show you their gratitude is simply by telling you that they're thankful. It's often even more touching if later on they end up sending you a little email or they write you a little card and they just let you know, I just really want you to know how thankful I am for your thoughtfulness in doing these things for me. It's very heartwarming. That's something that really bonds us close together as human beings. This is precisely what our Father wishes for us to do as well. In fact, we confess later in the Catechism that prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness which God requires of us. He wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to be very explicit in expressing to Him the gratitude that we have in our hearts for it, for what He's done for us. And that it's in this context that God also calls us to be thankful in all circumstances. He wants us to remember that it's not only when things are going well from an external perspective, but it's when we reflect on who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for us that we can have a lot of joy and a lot of gratitude in our hearts. Well, let me ask you then, brothers and sisters, are you someone who is thankful to God for the gifts of His grace? Do you have this joy in your heart, this gratitude in your heart for everything that God has done for you? You know, if you do, then you should tell Him that. Remember the wonderful things that God has done for you in the past. Recall those things and tell Him how much you appreciate those things that He's done for you. Do it specifically. Just call those individual things to mind, what He's done in the hearts and lives of your child, or what He's done in your marriage, or what He's done in your church community, or what He's done within the extended family, or within the communion of the saints, or whatever aspect of life. Call these things to mind and tell the Lord where you're at. That shows the Lord that you're thinking about Him and that you have this real sense of gratitude within your hearts for the gifts of His grace. And then have joy about those things. Rejoice in the Lord's work for you. Seek to do what's good and right. Especially try to help the people around you. Do you know what happens if you're not grateful? If I'm not mistaken, the truth of our lives is often we're sidetracked by other things. We often lose perspective. We don't have this gratitude as the first thing in our hearts and minds. We're so wrapped up in what we want, or what we have done, or what we're going to do, that there's little room in our thinking for thanking God for the gifts of His grace. Well, if that's happened to you, brothers and sisters, the first thing you need to do is you need to humble yourself before God. And you need to repent of your sin. We confess here in our Lord's days that those who live ungrateful and an impenitent, that means an unrepentant life, those people will be excluded from the kingdom of heaven. God says very clearly, this is a very serious matter. If you are not grateful for the gifts of His grace, then you will not share in His eternal kingdom. We must remember what God has done for us, and we must often reflect on His grace towards us. And that is really striking. The Lord also comes to us here in this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5. And He wants to help us with that. It is true we often fall short. We often don't call these things to mind. And if we do repent of that, if we are sorry to the Lord for what we've done wrong, and if we ask Him for His help, then He will do that. If you read the last verses of our chapter, then the Lord shows us here, He doesn't expect us to live a sanctified life by our own strength. No, He promises to work that out for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. God calls you to be sanctified, brothers and sisters, but he also promises you that he will effect that through the working of his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Pentecost will come into the hearts of those who are his children when we look to him in faith, when we rely upon the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Then he will change us and he will make us into these new people. He will equip us to live a life that is holy and that is grateful before him. And that leads us then to the second point, to the blessings we receive through a life of gratitude. You know, if you are thankful to God for his gifts, if you pray to him, if you sing songs of thanks and praise, if you do what's good, if you exude this attitude of sincere joy, then there are also many blessings that come through that. We not only show God our thanks for his gifts of grace, we also are blessed by that ourselves. And we are a blessing to the people around us. If you think about it, brothers and sisters, a life of gratitude is an extremely rich life. Sometimes you meet people who just have this very great sense of thankfulness in their hearts. That often happens to people who've been in difficult circumstances. As they've lived through the trials of life, and they're preserved by the Lord through that, and they come out the other side. Many times, they have this very deep-seated sense of thankfulness within their hearts. If they've been set free from a difficult sin, then often you have a real appreciation for the gifts of God's grace. But for those people who lived through the war, some of these people didn't always have food that they could provide for their families. And they've often been given a lasting appreciation for the riches of having food on the table, being able to provide for your family. It's extremely refreshing to meet such people because they rarely complain. They rarely grumble. Well, God uses that, brothers and sisters. When we live thankful lives before the Lord, when we show that by doing what's good and right, then God uses that as a powerful witness for people around us. It is God's will that by living in this way, that we are a testimony to what it means to be a Christian for other people. The Lord told his people that this is a primary function that he had with them as his children. In Exodus 19, he told them that they were to be a kingdom of priests before them. Sorry, kingdom of priests before him. It was his intention to use them to bring all the nations closer to him. That's something that Peter refers to. 2 Peter 1 verse 9, he tells the New Testament church, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." It's when you live a grateful life, brothers and sisters, that other people see that. And then they want to know why you're so different. They want to know what motivates you. They want to know why it is that you don't complain, why you're not bitter like the rest of the people around them. They want to know why you seek the well-being of people around you, even those people who have hurt you at some point in the past. Well, it's by living a thankful life that you're given the opportunity to share the hope that is within you. You may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, and you become a means and a tool in God's hands in order to bring other people to the Lord. You not only bring pleasure to God, you not only benefit the people around you, you also benefit yourself by living a grateful life. If you're thankful to God for the gifts that he gives you, then in the end, the Lord uses that to work a real assurance in your heart that you are one of the people of God. You know, those who are ungrateful to God often end up committing many sins before him. They really don't care about God. They really don't care about what he's done for them. And as a result, they often live very selfish lives. The result is that they commit a great deal of sins before God. You know one of the most devastating consequences of living this kind of lifestyle? Those who live sinful, ungrateful lives are people who wake up one morning and they wonder if they really are the people of God. If you know that deep down in your heart that what you're doing is not right, if you're not repenting of that, if you're not changing your life, then sometimes that leaves you with a sense of estrangement and alienation from God. Just as you become alienated and isolated from a person who steals from you or gossips about you, so you also become alienated and isolated from God when you sin against Him and don't repent. Well, the opposite is also true. If you are sincerely grateful to the Lord, if you express that to Him through a life of gratitude, then naturally you will also be drawn closer to the Lord. God uses a life of thankfulness in order to confirm in your heart that you really are His child, that He really loves you, and that He will take care of you for the rest of your life. Well, that's an immense gift that we get through living a life of gratitude by pursuing these good works. The reality is that the best life that we could possibly live is one where we have a real love for the Lord, where we have a real sense of thankfulness in our hearts for the gifts of His grace. If you want to grow in cultivating that attitude, brothers and sisters, then you need to often reflect on who God is and what He's done for you. Think of what God's given you. Think of how He's made you into the kind of person who you are. Think about how often He's extended His grace to you in forgiving your sins. And think about how merciful He has been in His dealings with you. Think about how He's shaped and formed your character, how He's conformed you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Think about the blessings that you receive in knowing Him, in contrast to the people around you who don't know Him. Think about the blessing that you have in respecting His Word. And as you think about all these blessings, then tell your Father how much you appreciate them, and show Him your love and appreciation by doing what is good and right before Him. Amen. Let's now sing together a psalm of thanks, Psalm 105, verses 1, 2, 3, and 15. Brothers and sisters, the consistory has the following announcements. The Lord willing, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper next week, Sunday morning. The table of the Lord is intended only for those who have truly repented of their sins and are truly converted to God. That is, only those may come to the table who grieve with heartfelt sorrow that they have offended God by their sin and more hate it and flee from it. At the same time, with heartfelt joy in God through Christ, they love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. Let's now call upon the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. In our prayer this afternoon, we'll remember our evangelist, Reverend Pragu, and his wife. They received a healthy baby girl from the Lord. They've called her Lily Ollie. We'll also remember our brother Timmer. We'll pray that the Lord would bless the doctor's care over him. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our God and that we may be your people. We thank you that the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, that he comforts us and helps us, and that he sanctifies us. We are extremely grateful for the blessings of Jesus Christ, that for Christ's sake we can plead with you for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we may know that you will forgive us all our sins. We also thank you that you are conforming us to the image of your Son. Dear Father in heaven, we often try to show you our gratitude, but we do that in very limited ways. Sometimes we're distracted. Sometimes we get caught up with our world and pursuing things that you don't really tell us are all that important. Sometimes it happens to us that we just forget about you, and we try to live life by our own strength. And so, Lord, we often are very poor at expressing our gratitude to you. We pray that you would forgive us for this, Lord. We're sorry for the way that we offend you. We're sorry for the way that we treat you so lightly. And we pray for your grace that you would forgive us this for Jesus' sake. We also pray that you would sanctify us, Father, that more and more with your Holy Spirit you would work in our hearts so that we recognize how rich we are because of your gifts and that we show you our gratitude by living for you. Please help us, Lord, to live a sanctified life, that we flee from all manner of sin. Please help us to flee from sexual sin, from drunkenness. Help us to flee from laziness, from being idle. Help us to flee from inappropriate things that we sometimes say. Please, instead, Lord, grant that we may rejoice always, that we may give thanks to you in all circumstance, that we may pray continually, that we may sing songs of gratitude before you. Please help us with your Holy Spirit so that our whole life may be an act of devotion before you, that by the things that we do, that we seek to do what's good and right before you in order to show you how thankful we are for your gifts of grace. We confess, Lord, we can't do these things by ourselves, and so we pray that you would strengthen us to this by your Holy Spirit. And then we also ask, Lord, by living a truly grateful life, that we may be a wonderful example for the people around us. Grant that when our co-workers and neighbors, when the others around us see who we are and how we live as your children, that they may wish to know you, that they may ask us about that, and that we're able to share with them the hope of salvation that we have within us. Lord, we pray that in this way that you would gather many people to yourself. There's so many people in our city who live in darkness. They don't know the way. They don't know the truth. They don't know how to live, and they need your help and your grace in their lives. You don't desire the death of the sinner, but that he turns to you and lives. And so, Lord, we pray for these people, that they may come to know you, and that they too would share in the gifts of your grace. Dear Father in heaven, we also pray that you would bless each one of us in their various circumstances. You know our lives. You know who we are. You know what we are grateful for and what we struggle with. Please grant that you would help each one of us individually to focus on you, to live for you, and to live by your strength. Remember at this time our evangelist, Reverend Pragru, and his wife. We're extremely grateful, Lord, that they have received a healthy baby girl. We pray that you would please bless them and their family. Please grant that by means of your grace, that they may, as parents, be able to train up their daughter in the fear of your name, and that she may live as your child. We also bring to you at this time our brother Timur. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the doctor's care for him. Please grant that they're able to help him during this time, and please be with him that he may recuperate as well. We ask, Lord, that you would please be with all the members of our congregation who struggle with various health concerns. Lord, you know us, and you know our needs, you know our circumstances. We also pray that you would please not only grant relief, but that you also use these things to conform us to the image of your Son. Please grant, Lord, that we can have a faithful week of service before you this coming week, that we can do the tasks that you have set before us, that we do these things with a good attitude before you, and that in this way that we also work towards the coming of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's now sing together. We're going to sing from hymn 63, the verses 1 and 2. Now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.